For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief at night. For the first generations of Christians, this image, these words from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, would have had great meaning. They thought that the return of Jesus was imminent. They expected the second coming to arrive within their lifetime. For the small Christian community in Thessalonica, this image of the thief coming at night was a powerful one. They would have been on guard lest the Lord's return catch them unprepared. But then something happened, and that something was that time went by. The first generations of Christians died, a new generation was born, and the Lord did not return. The first letter to the Thessalonians was written sometime around the year 50, not even 20 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. St. Paul, in his later letters, would seem to modify his position. He would speak of the Lord's return as being somewhat delayed. But even though it was delayed, it didn't mean people should be any less prepared. As time went by, it became more apparent that the Lord's return was not imminent. This is certainly our experience. We know, because of our faith, that the Lord will come again. The day of the Lord will dawn, but yet it seems to be delayed. This experience of a delay is reflected in tonight's gospel parable, the parable of the master and his servants. The master, we're told, is going on a journey, and he entrusts talents to his servants. In the ancient usage, the talent was a type of money. It was quite a bit of money. So the master is entrusting a lot of his fortune to these servants. And then he goes on a journey, and we're told that he is gone for a long time. Perhaps the servants began to wonder if he was ever going to come back. Perhaps they got weary waiting. Whatever the case might be, we know that they had a long time and a lot of money to do something. When the master returns, he wants to know what they've done. The servants who double the money are praised as being ingenious and industrious. They're given greater responsibilities. The servant whom out of fear buried the master's money and returned it to him as is receives the full wrath of the master. So, my friends, what is the takeaway for us? What does God's word have to say to us this weekend? Allow me to suggest 3 points, 3 takeaways. The first is that as Christians, we have to have a healthy awareness of the end times, what St. Paul calls the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord will come for each of us, whether we are alive to see the Lord's second coming or at the end of our natural lives. The Lord will come for us. In this month of November, we traditionally remember what we call the 4 last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Remembering these 4 last things and that the Lord returns for each of us is a reality that shouldn't paralyze us with fear. It shouldn't make us shrink away from the world. But on the other hand, it can't be ignored just because it seems like something that will happen at some faraway date. The second takeaway is that just like the master in the parable, God has entrusted us with so many good things, our talents. And here we can expand the meaning of the word talent. We can think of it as we traditionally think of that word, as the things that we are good at, our gifts, our abilities. But the talents that the Lord has given to us are also our faith, the great privilege of being a son or daughter of God, a brother or sister of Jesus Christ, the gift of being part of the body of Christ, the church, the gift of having a relationship with God, the gift of a God who wants to know us and love us and be in a relationship with us. These are the talents that God has given to each of us. These are his gifts to us to use for our own salvation and for the betterment of our brothers and sisters. And we need to invest them just like the servants do. And how do we invest them? We invest them when we use them, when we give them away. For the most wonderful thing about our faith is that when we learn to give of ourselves, to give to the point almost where it hurts us, it's then that we grow, because we image God who continues to give of himself for us. And lastly, my friends, like the master, God expects a return on his investment. Each of us will face a judgment at the end of our lives. And that judgment will be based on the things that we have done or those that we have failed to do. Notice in the gospel that the master would have been content with even a very small return by that third servant. He says, you could have even put that money in a bank, so I could have gotten some interest on my return. Perhaps interest rates were better in the ancient world. He only would have gotten about 1% today. But be that as it may, the point here is that the master wanted something to be done. He wanted to see some initiative. Likewise, God wants us to have some initiative, not to be passive spectators in our faith, passive spectators in our church, to do something with the gifts and talents that he has entrusted to us. My friends, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Let us be prepared. Be prepared by using the Lord's gifts well, the gift of time well. And God is demanding of us, not because he is a harsh master, but because he wants us to be prepared for heaven. He wants us to invest our gifts wisely here on earth so that we might receive their full flowering in eternal life, the eternal life of heaven.